lot of times when we talk to people about what they would like to do in their relationship with God or what they would want from God, they'll say, I'd like to draw closer to God. I'd like to have a closer walk with God, or I'd like to have a closer relationship with God. And this morning we're going to be talking about making better decisions by knowing God better. Making better decisions by knowing God better. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you again today. And Lord, we don't take it lightly that we can come to you, because we know at what great cost it was to you that you gave your only begotten Son, that we could be able to have a way, to have a relationship with you again, that you would be able, Lord, to bless us, that you would be able to speak to us, and we would be able to hear you, Lord, and hear your voice and follow close after your voice, that we would not follow another because of the work that you have done, and through your power of your Holy Spirit, God, you have done these things. And here we are today, Lord, gathered together to hear from you, to draw closer to you, and to walk closer with you, to know your will for our lives, and to follow after you and not another. Lord, we're here, Lord, that we would be able to worship you in our daily life, that we would be able to worship you, Lord, and that it would be a sweet savor to you and not a stench, not filled with sin or other things that cloud things out, that cloud your presence out or push you away, but that we would be receptive to your word and that we would learn and grow. And then in turn, that we would go out and win the lost at any cost. Win them to you, Lord. Bring them to you. Show them who you are in our lives from day to day. That we would magnify you in who we are in our lives, walking with you, talking with you, talking with them about you, reading your word, studying your word, drawing closer to you, that we can make a difference, and then discipling others to in turn do the same for your great kingdom, for your glory, God. In Jesus' holy name, have your way this morning. Help us to respond to your word in kind, God. And we give you the glory. It belongs to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start out this morning when I get to the scripture there at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Now, to begin, I want to share a poem with you. And like I said, we're talking today about making better decisions by knowing God better. So this poem I'd like to share with you is about decision making. It's a poem by Porta Nelson. I think I pronounced her first name right. There's a hole in my sidewalk. That's the name of this poem. There's a hole in my sidewalk. Autobiography in 5 chapters. So I'm going to read this to you. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find my way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down a different street. And that's an autobiography in 5 chapters of someone who is working to make some change, but is taking some time because they continuously make the same wrong decision until their eyes are open. Isn't that much like us? Until we meet our Lord and Savior, our eyes are not open to our sin. We're going to resist even the thought of it. We're going to run from anyone who would say that's sin or this is sin and you need the Lord. But when our eyes are open and the Lord himself knocks on our door, the door of our heart, and we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he begins to work inside of our hearts. Before that, it's very difficult to change, especially sin. You can't wash it away no matter how much you wash it. You can't clean it away. You can't self-help it away. You can't do any kind of therapy to get sin away. You can't do anything in this world on our own wisdom and our own merit to do anything about sin. But the Lord Jesus, he can. He can heal it. He can wash it away, and he can make it as if it had never been there and make you as white as snow. Wash it away. Wisdom. The definition of wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise, the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Wisdom takes all that good knowledge and all that life experience and all of that. Wisdom helps us make a good decision. But what about wisdom? Well, let's look back at this verse that we're starting in. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will surely, certainly die.'" If we move on forward, God had commanded Adam and given him everything in the garden to eat from except for this one tree. And God drew a boundary. And God said, of everything you can freely eat, but of this one tree, if you eat of it, you will surely die. He says, do not do that. And if we move on forward in Genesis 3:6, we'll see when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, Genesis 3:6, and pleasing to the eyes, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And right before that, she had had this discussion with Satan, with a serpent in the garden who was tempting her, who was lying to her, twisting the truth. And that is the way the enemy works in our lives today. He will do all that he can to steal from you, to rob from you, to destroy your life, to kill you. He wants you to make a mistake. He wants you to fall down flat. He wants you to be unable to be successful, and he wants you to die. He is the enemy. He wants to rob and steal and kill. Satan himself. That is not God's will for our life. God's will for our life is what he had commanded Adam. Obey him. Obey God. Well, what's wrong with desiring to be wise like God? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the desire to have wisdom? What's wrong with that? Well, what Adam and Eve did was they stole something from God, didn't they? And they lied. they were not following God's will. They disobeyed God. They trespassed against him. Disobeying, stealing, they did even much more. They broke trust with God. They broke communication with God. They broke their relationship with God. And even much more than that, they rejected what was good in exchange for what was wrong and evil. They sinned. And sin in the world was then known. Now, if you or I were standing there that day, just as if that tree were right here, right now, today, we would do the same thing. It's really something to know that you don't have to teach a child to lie. They will begin to lie. It's human nature. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. You have to teach them not to lie. We have to work hard to tell the truth. We have to work hard to be responsible, to grow and to mature. And certainly in Christ, if we are Christian, it's not just about get saved. Oh, I'm saved and it's done and said and yeah, we're good. But it's a process of working and walking in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ every day that we live, because our flesh wars against our spirit and our spirit wars against our flesh. But there's a way that we can make better decisions, and that is by knowing God better. I have a few granddaughters. I've been blessed with a few and a few grandsons. I have a couple that when they were 3, fixing to turn 4, and one of them's still there, that whenever I would say anything to them, and whenever I do, their response is, why? So I say stuff like, okay, it's time to put your shoes on. Why? It's time to go. Why? We need to go to the store. Why? It's time to get in your car seat. Why? I have to tell them, you need to be honest. Why? Don't tell a lie. Why? Why? They want to know why. So why is it wrong? That's what we ask. Why is it wrong? What was wrong with this scenario with Eve and Adam? Why was it so bad that she take that fruit and eat from it and give to her husband? We know the answer, don't we? Because God told her not to. Because there was a boundary set. Wouldn't it seem like it would be an easy thing if God set a boundary, like he does with the ocean, that we would abide by the boundaries? The moon, it stays up there. God set it there. The stars are in place. The seas and the oceans. It's God that takes care of all of these things. And he gives us our life. And then he gives us our soul, right? He gives us our soul, our very life, our eternal soul. And it's in our accountability to take care of our eternal soul. It's ours to deal with, right? And we cannot alone do this. We can't save ourselves. We must have the Lord Jesus to save our soul so that we can walk and live upright before him, so that we can have wisdom to move forward in him. Proverbs 3:7, the word of God gives us guidance and regarding wisdom. It gives us guidance about wisdom. In Proverbs 3:7, the Bible says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And Isaiah 5:21 says, he spoke to them and he said, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Why? Why do we need to be wise in the Lord and not in our own eyes? Why do we need to shun evil? Why? Well, it makes perfect sense when you know who is out to get you. When you know the devil himself wants to destroy you. And he will use any device that he can that is wicked to try to snare you and entrap you into something and hold you as long as possible and distract you from your calling or your work that God has called you to. The enemy is running around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Teeth out and roaring, but yet in the presence of Christ himself, he's very weak and unable. He may even try to gobble you up. You may have a leg hanging out, but the Lord will deliver you if you call on his name. The word of God answers the question of why. Why? Psalms 36:2 says, in their own eyes they flatter themselves too much. Why do we need God to give us wisdom? Why do we need his wisdom and not our own? Because we would flatter ourselves too much. Because we would be so filled with pride and it would happen so quick. It's just something that happens. We need God. Proverbs 26:16 says, a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. Someone who is just so sluggard and just so, he's wise in his own eyes. I've met some, not all homeless people, but some homeless people who feel like it's okay just to go and take from this person or that person and go live in this couch and stay there. And I'm not talking about people who are struggling and trying to get on their feet. I'm talking about someone who already thinks, this is the way I need to live. I'm not gonna work for myself. I'm gonna let everybody else work for me. But they're wise in their own mind, and it doesn't make sense. It's not godly to be lazy. Proverbs 28:11 says, the rich are wise in their own eyes. One who is poor and discerning sees how deluded they can be, or they are. Even a rich person can be wise. So it doesn't matter who you are or what stature you have in life. You can be wise in your own eyes, which is not godly wisdom at all. You may feel like you're wise in your own eyes. And we could get like that. Proverbs 30:12 says, those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. There are those who feel like, I'm pure. There's nothing wrong with me. It's that person that's got the problem. And it's that old saying, you know, you got one finger pointing at someone else. And all these are pointing right back at you, right? Looking at our lives. So let's start at the beginning. According to the word of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To fear the Lord. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools do that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding in Proverbs 9 and 10. Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. It begins with fearing the Lord. To do that, we need to know who he is. He is the creator of everything. He is the just God. He is righteous and he is holy. And he says to us, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then we stand, how is that possible for me to be holy? How is it possible for me to be perfect? How is it possible for me to be cleansed? How is it possible for me to live righteously and not make all these mistakes? And the Lord says that he sent his son Jesus into the world. And the Lord Jesus gave his life for the world, that the world wouldn't be lost, but that we could be saved. And in that, we have a high priest, Jesus himself, who makes intercession. He ever lives to make intercession for us, that we may be holy before God. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. His very blood was spilled for us so that we can live upright, so that we can live holy, so that we can live just and be justified. In him we can be, not in our own wisdom and our own righteousness. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. I am not pure without his blood. I cannot be perfect without his leading me. And then I am not complete until the day that I see him. Now on this side of glory, there is no way. Every person that I know is tempted to do some sort of sin, and that is just in us. But we must turn to the Word of God, and we must turn to God on our knees, in our hearts before him, and ask him to lead us and guide us. Ask him for forgiveness of sin, and lay that sin down, and not pick it up again, but lay it down before his mighty feet, and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm a thief. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. I'm a liar. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. I'm a glutton. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. I'm lazy. Forgive me. Whatever it is, I'm jealous. I'm envious. I'm full of bitterness. I have a bad attitude. Whatever it is, it's not just before people, but it's before God that these things occur. It hinders our relationship with God. And we must have God in our lives to live a holy life. We cannot have his wisdom without him. How do we make better decisions? By having, knowing God better. How do we know God better? By drawing closer to him. He says if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Drawing near to God means let's not reject him. Adam and Eve, they rejected God by rejecting to obey him. They rejected the right to choose the wrong. We need to revere God. Jeremiah 10:12 says, God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. Wisdom comes from God. He is God Almighty. He created all things, and in all things in him exist. Isaiah 28:29 says, all this also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful. Whose wisdom is magnificent. Magnificent. His wisdom is perfect. We need him to guide us in wisdom. We need him in every decision we make. So Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And this is what Paul said to the Ephesians. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Paul is praying and keeping and asking God to help the Ephesians know him better, that God, by his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, would reveal to them what they need to know. And that's what God does in our lives, in our hearts. When we come to Jesus and give him our lives, accept him for who he is, Lord of lords and King of kings, and then we let him rightfully become the head of our life, the center of our life, then the Holy Spirit indwells in us and begins to lead us. He shows us what's wrong, doesn't he? You that know the Lord, you know what I mean. He shows us what's wrong. Now, do we always listen? We're having to learn how to listen sometimes, right? Depending on what that thing is that's troubling you. We have to be patient to listen. We have to attune our ears to it. The more we know about God, the more we can attune our ears to him. It's like the piano here. Someone who doesn't know music, doesn't know what the chord of C sounds like, or the chord of D may not know when it's out of tune. But someone who knows music will know. God knows us, and he knows when we're not right with him. And he's showing us and talking to us and leading us. And it doesn't matter how young in the Lord you are or how old in the Lord we are. This is still happening. Still happening in our lives. So how do we get wisdom? We allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We ask God. God's wisdom is revealed by the Spirit as what Paul was speaking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 12. He said to them, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before the time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit teaches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. That's shouting grounds right there. It's free. The wisdom of God and what God has given us through Jesus Christ and Jesus himself and us being able to know him. The world rejects it. The world's wisdom is nothing to do with God. The world's wisdom takes you down a long, lonely road. And the end of it is just spiritual poverty, eternally lost without God. How can we gain wisdom? Well, James talks about that, how we can gain wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God. Just that simple. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask. Not just anybody, but we ask God. Ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James 3:13 through 17 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show their good life by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from the heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and it's sincere. When we have that, we can be peacemakers, peacemakers who sow in peace, reap a harvest of righteousness. And the Lord, he wants us to have peace with him. He wants us to follow after him. He doesn't want us bickering and fighting. He doesn't want us full of envy or wrath, jealousy. He doesn't want all of those things to reside in us and us to act out those emotions. He wants us to walk humbly before Him. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to use godly wisdom. He wants us to make better decisions. And then the year to come, this new year, we need God's wisdom. In our seeking a pastor for this position, this pulpit, we need God's wisdom. If we go by our own wisdom, we will fail miserably, and we will find ourselves miserable. And the lost will not be won. We have a work to do that is not being done. There are ministries to be birthed in this local body right here to win the lost in this community and in our homes. There are missing people here today. Some are sick, yes. But there are missing people here today for other reasons as well. We need God. We need God's wisdom to lead us forward. And we're seeking that. In Jesus' day, the religious leaders wasn't listening. They could not recognize Him. They would not listen because they were following their own wisdom. They were following their own rules, their own righteousness, and they missed the Savior. They missed recognizing who He is. What an awful thing to miss out on. They called Him a drunkard, a glutton. They called Him names. They mocked His disciples. They were out to get Him. And yes, they wanted to kill Him. Jesus was a friend of the tax collectors and the outcasts, sinners. He loved them. And you know what wisdom is, according to Matthew 11 and the latter half of verse 19? Wisdom is justified by her deeds. We can see when someone is being wise by the way they're acting. By our deeds, we'll be known. By the words that come out of our mouth, by the way that we live our life.